refreshing morning, and so I turned on this fan to get some of that nice, beautiful, crisp air in here, but I think it's probably getting to the point where it's a little bit warmer out there now than certainly it was early on. This morning, the sermon will be a lot about the gospel lesson. But I'd like to begin in Isaiah 65, which was our Old Testament lesson. And I want to begin by reading verse 2 of Isaiah 65.
Sorry.
I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the lessons you have given us this day, and especially the gospel lesson, whereby we see a man who's in dire, desperate straits, who's healed and brought back into fellowship with his own people, and brought back to being one who is a possessor of his own sound mind. We thank you for the power of the gospel. We pray it would be ours today. And we ask, Lord God, that the degree to which our lives may reflect the disorder that was a part of his life, being possessed, that we too would find our freedom in you, hearing your word. We pray that this would make us your people, secondarily better people, and certainly better fathers. We would ask that you would do this work in us, that we would no longer be those who are following our own devices, but sitting at your feet. We ask that you would make it so in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I have to admit, I first chuckled when I read this in the ESV here, and this title, Following Their Own Devices. And it occurred to me that there's no better commentary, as I chuckled about it, no better commentary about modern life than this. That they were following their own devices. How many folks do we see with that device in their hand? They could walk off a cliff. They could walk into traffic. And we're not just talking about those physical dangers there, but the whole of their life is based on this device in their hand or the one at their desk in front of their screen. Perhaps you remember some ancient history, one of the episodes of The Office, when these things were all kind of new to us, and even the idea of somebody having a GPS in their car, right? Trust the GPS. Trust the GPS, they were saying. As, you know, the GPS was telling them to take this right-hand turn, but this right-hand turn was leading them right into this pond. They trusted their device. They trusted the GPS. Sure enough, the car goes right into the pond. Following their devices. This is not going to be about a grumpy, bitter old man complaining about him being a technological dinosaur that may not have a liking for these devices, because it is so much more than simply about machines. And this commentary about modern life here really applies to all of humanity, not just young people. from the youngest to the oldest, from those spanning the generations and all of history, and those spanning the globe. It applies to all of humanity, and not simply or solely modern humanity. But you know, there's this image about this person with just this a complete fixation about their device. And that's the criticism. They were following their devices. The image of someone fixated and having an allegiance to an alien source or an anti-Christian source, in the case of our gospel lesson, a demon, having a fixation and an allegiance there that whether they can control it or not, it is controlling them. An alien and an anti-Christian source of direction in your life and getting your worldview from that device is exactly what all of our lectionary readings and our gospel lesson is all about. And it's exactly what our challenge is about today. And of course, there is always God. Remember Him? Seeking to get our attention, seeking to get our allegiance to Him. And His appeals often fall on deaf ears. Even as His appeals go out to all of humanity. And yes, as we look at our Old Testament lesson and go into our gospel, we're going to see that there are some distinctions that, you know, ought to be made between Jews and Gentiles and between, you know, the transition of the gospel going out to the whole world. And so we have to be careful about that. They are to be found in our lessons here. But this is about humanity. Take a look at our context from Isaiah 65 and verse 1. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am. Hey, people, I'm over here. It's me. I'm over here. To a nation that was not called by my name. That references the Gentiles later on. I spread out my hands all the day to this rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good. What are they doing? They're following their own devices. We're going to explore that. I don't think I got through all that.
No, it's the same slide.
Perfect. Thank you. A people who provoke me to my face, continually sacrificing in gardens, making offerings on the bricks, who sit in tombs. There's a reference here to our gospel lesson for those who are a tomb. The swine are in this picture. The tombs are in this picture. The control by a source other than God is in this picture. Who spend the night in secret places, who eat the pig's flesh and the broth of tainted meat is in their vessels. So God says, here I am, I'm over here. And this is a pre-echo, so to speak, of our gospel lesson. That demon-possessed man who is naked, living among the tombs, with the swine, the pig there, being an important part of the diet of that locale and an important part of their economy. Not just for him, but for all of the people there. The swine, a part of their economy and a part of their diet. And at the same time, there's a picture here of the Jews being really obnoxious. Because in verse 5, they're the ones who are saying, hey, you go stand over there. This is I am holier than thou, I think the King James says. And God says, you know what? You guys just stink. He's saying to the Jews. You guys just stink your sense in my nostrils. For thinking you're better than the other. You're acting just like the pagans. You're acting just like the world. And by the way, God is now calling out to those Gentiles who are following their own devices, and the Jews are acting just like them, following their devices. Even while they're saying we're better than everybody else. And so we have, you know, the zombie, demon-possessed demon-possessed type character here, which is a personification. What's happening in Isaiah 65? It's a personification, or rather the gospel lesson is a personification of what was being spoken about in Isaiah 65. And quite frankly, what's spoken about in culture after culture where people are following their devices and not listening to him. And it's a personification of what Israel had become. And first and foremost, they'd become no different and no better than the Gentiles. And no different or no better than one who's possessed by an alien, and by that I mean another, and a demonic. In their context and in our context today, the masses have become a legion of lost souls. I want us to see here to the degree that all we are doing, if all we are doing is following our own devices, we are like that man possessed of the demon. And if we have a whole culture, then we are a legion of those we're ignoring is, hey, I'm over here, remember me, as we're choosing to follow our devices. And when I say devices, I mean our devices and our design. And as we explore what that word devices mean, when Alan read it for us from the King James, it was not the word device. They're following their own thoughts, their own intentions, their own design. The source of their instruction in their life was not God and not his word. Following their own devices and designs. You know, when we look at that man who is possessed of the demon, it is easy to picture the need for help that he was in. He's naked. He doesn't have a house. He's living among the toads. Easy to picture that that man is in desperate need for help. But how about us? If we're following our devices, personally and individually, and culturally, and as a nation and as a world, and if we are indeed the personification of that man possessed of the demon, are we not in equal need? And of course, by devices, it can mean a machine, and we'll explore that. But all over the scriptures, the word devices, it's an old English word, it means, you know, plots and schemes and thoughts and intentions. Purposes? Let me remind you of a couple of proverbs. And I'm reminding you of these two proverbs because they come one after another so we don't forget them. Proverbs 16. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. My old King James language. It seems right. So, you know, the source of our information is really important. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And just so that we don't forget that, this actually is a repeated form of Proverbs 14 and 12, which says, this is not a typo or anything like this, this is two chapters earlier. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. This means we need help. We can't rely on our own individual devices, our own designs and thoughts and intentions, nor can we rely on that of others who are simply men. And what I mean by men is mankind. By the way, remember Isaiah 53 and 6? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, our own design. Do what we think is best, what we think is right, and limit sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness, that which is outside of his word. Every one of us. And so sin is going your own way. That's what it is. And maybe that way is despicable, and sometimes it's plain as potatoes and really easy to spot, and it's like that man possessed of the demon. It's like a homeless person. It's like a drunk. It's like an addict. It's like someone who is murdering people or robbing banks or you name it. Sometimes it's despicable. Just like that demon-possessed man. Or sometimes, maybe, going your own way is very respectful. Just like the Pharisees, in their culture, very respectable. They were not despicable in their culture, they were respectable. Respectable just like the white-collar criminals. Or in the wicked, whitewashed sepulchres that run so many of our own institutions. Think about the guys who would never think of robbing a train, but through their white-collar manipulations, they end up stealing a whole railroad, never getting their hands dirty. But they're filled with dead men's bones, as Jesus would say. So sin is not about what is viewed in a despicable way or a respectable way. Sin is about going your own way and following your own devices. And we have plenty of people leading our institutions who are sinning very respectably. You know, there is a veritable definition of humanism, which is found in Habakkuk 1 and 7. It says, they are dreaded and fearsome. Then we get to this. That's not a bad depiction of some of our leadership, is it? Right? Their justice and their dignity, the old King James says, proceed from themselves. Meaning, the source of how we're going to do justice in a culture and the source of our dignity proceed or go forth from our own devices. We're going to decide. Humanism, the measure of man is the measure of all things, right? So again, God, hey, I'm over here, remember me. But humanism says, hey, we're going to just do what we think is best and don't get the proverb, right? The way that seems right to a man is the way of God. Their justice and their dignity go forth from themselves. They proceed from themselves. So you think about the issues in our culture right now that are at the forefront, where justice is all being spouted and says, this is what this is all about. If it proceeds from our own humanism and from our own source of information and not from God, then it ends up being the tyranny that's described in the first clause of this verse. Think about the issue of abortion. That is no different than what we're reading here. Their justice and their dignity proceed from themselves. We're going to decide who has dignity, who has value, who doesn't. Our recognition of justice in the land is going to proceed from ourselves. Forget what God has to say about justice. There's no shortage of devices that are found in human history. When we talk about devices here, thoughts, designs, intentions, not just machines. Look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention, that's the same Hebrew word as devices, his intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the word device. The same word for devices is found in Job, which is probably the oldest book in the scriptures. In Job 21 and 27, Job says this, I know your devices. I know your schemes. Look at Esther. You remember the story of Esther and Haman, right? The antagonist in Esther chapter 9, look at verses 24 and 25. Haman, he plotted against that. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan, these are all the words for devices there, that he had devised, there it is again, against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. How about Jeremiah 18, verse 12 here? They say this, God's trying to talk to them. They say, God's stuff is we will follow our own plans. That's the devices. And we will, every one of us, we will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. I mean, what a culture. Kind of sounds like a culture I know pretty well. How about verse 18 of this? The in-between verses are again God saying, I'm over here, listen to me. They say, come, let us make plots. Those are devices again. Against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the peace, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word of the prophet. Come, let us strike him. He's not going to stop proclaiming God's word to us. He's not going to stop. We better silence him. And so they devise a scheme, a design, a device to kill Jeremiah. And therefore, when we strike him and his words, his tongue, therefore, and then, we won't have to pay any more attention to his words. When designs and schemes and devices are openly wicked, they're easy to spot. But remember, there's a whole range of wickedness that may seem perfectly fine in society. And it may seem perfectly fine in your own thinking and your own understanding. Take a look at Jeremiah 6 and 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people. It's going to be the fruit of their devices. It's going to be because they haven't listened to me. They're following their devices. I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their own, that's the outcropping, the outgrowth of their designs is disaster. The fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. I want you, when we get to the end of this sermon, we're going to read about law and about Christ. And you know what? If you're a person or you're in a culture that has no regard for God's law and no regard for Christ, you are really in a hopeless state. This is your future. The judgment of God. That's 3,000 years ago. What about us? What about us and following our own thoughts and designs? It's the American way. Following our own thoughts and designs. Our own devices. Maybe it's a machine, or maybe it's a scheme that originates in our mind. And so where do you stand on a number of things, like just the opinion of, maybe it's a personal opinion, or maybe it's even a public opinion. And you're letting your own personal opinion guide you in your decisions, or you're letting public opinion guide your decisions and your actions. As opposed to the Word of God guiding your action and your opinion. And so I submit to you that if your life is devoid of God's Word, you know what it looks like to Him? It looks to Him exactly as wretched and as ugly as that naked, demon-possessed, tomb-dwelling man who is feasting on the swine. That's what it looks like. And that is the condition of your soul. In our culture, we want to get back to never had it, but the idea is that raw democracy. Remember the French Revolution? Remember Voltaire? Voltaire said, the voice of the people is the voice of God. All right, so public opinion tells me the voice of God. That is not to be found in the Bible. But is that guiding you? After all, CNN just conducted a poll which said this many percentage of Americans say this is okay. Well, it must be okay. I'm going to do it too. How do you come to conclusions in your life and your actions? Is it your own opinion, or is it the algorithm that is forming that message that you're getting on that device that you're following? Your personal opinion or the public opinion that we feed on every day through our devices? Or is it His Word? Which one of those is it? And I submit to you that the best of us are increasingly those who have a steady diet of our devices, whether it comes from within, whether it's the public opinion, or whether it comes from the algorithm that's feeding our devices. Instead of it coming from His Word. And so again, let's walk through just a couple of things. What about morality? What about sexual norms? Just take a poll. Is living together before marriage, is that okay? You ask the culture, not a problem. Should that be your conclusion? And even if it is the product of your own understanding, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Is it okay? Is it not a problem? I don't think it's a problem, you know, and my culture doesn't think it's a problem, and my algorithm, the poll, tells me it's not a problem. What does that say about it? There's a whole other range of sexual norms I could talk about. What have become sexual norms? And, you know, I won't make this, but, you know, even Jeremiah says, you know, remember the old paths, the eternal truths. Because I can guarantee you that the algorithms, if such polling was taken place 15 or 50 years ago, when America was listening to the voice of God, you'd get a different answer. The basis of what's right and what's wrong. The issue of crime and punishment. If a poll says, hey, we're better off not having any punishment for this crime, but God says that, you know, there must be a punishment for this crime or you're going to destroy your own society. Which are we choosing? How about finances and economics? Now, this is bigger and deeper than any of us would like to really consider. Are we following what's acceptable in terms of our finances and economics, or are we following really what God says about it? His Word, or again, public or private data mining? How about education? Will your child, will you train your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord? You might say, yeah, you know, I just really think I should let my own kids make up their own mind about these things and not influence them. You might have public opinion agreeing with you. Your device probably agrees with you because that's what the algorithm says. Or are you listening to what God says, who does say, train up your child in the way he should go and bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? What is a family? What is a man? What is a woman? You know, in the first church that I attended regularly as a believer, there was a really old-time pastor there, and this was all time. The dead fish go with the flow. The dead fish go with the flow. That's following devices. How about religion itself? You know, we've come to a place in America where, I think I talked about this last week, whatever floats your boat, right? You want to be this? Fine. You want to be that? Fine. You want to be the other thing? Fine. You want to be atheist? Fine, 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 fine. But the Bible says be building yourself up in your most holy faith. That means it's unique. It's different. It's exclusive. And that doesn't mean, you know, we disparage or we hate people of other faiths or of no faith. Not at all. It means all the more that we need to be those who are playing the role of God and say, hey, listen to his voice. We don't want to see you dead. What the gospel lesson is showing us is that it's showing us who we have become. When we look at that man possessed by the devil, it's showing us who we have become, desperately in need of deliverance. We need a restoration no less than the restoration that he had. He was possessed. Many in our culture, many in our society, in our nation, are literally possessed. Others are simply possessed by their personal and the cultural groupthink. The public opinion. What does the device say? Our New Testament lesson was Galatians 3. Let's look at verse 24. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. There's the law and there's Christ. Okay? The law was God's law. It was his words. And they're not in opposition to each other, but the law was the guardian. It really was the disciplinarian, if we look at that word more critically in the Greek. The law was our disciplinarian to bring us to Christ. And Christ lived a life in complete conformance to the law of God. So they are similar in terms of the conduct and the outcome. Christ gives us power. The law tells us the truth. But without the law of God and without Christ, we are that gospel character. I'm going to say that again. I want that to sink in. Without the law of God, and without Christ, we are that gospel character. Following our own devices. This alien source of information. But in Christ, you remember the end of the gospel story, Luke 8? I think it's 35. I can't read my own writing. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus, and they found the man who the demons had gone out of sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They didn't want to give up their lifestyle. They didn't want to give up their economy. They didn't want to give up their diet of the pigs. And so they were afraid, and they said, Jesus, get out of here. But what happened to this man? In Christ, he is sitting at his feet. That means he's being taught by him. He's put his device down for a little while. He's put his scheming, design, intentions, thoughts down. He's made them secondary to the teachings of Christ. He's in Christ, this man. He is sitting at Christ's feet. He's listening to him. He's learning from him. He is restored. He is healed. You know, we can substitute our own self in there and say, when this happens with us, We are restored. We are healed. And we are no longer possessed, but possessing of a right mind. The bottom line is, some of us are way too comfortable with the world and with worldly things. Following our own devices. I told you I was going to give a little bit about Father's Day. And I'm a truth teller. When I say a little bit, I mean a little bit. Because here we are at the end. Want to be an outstanding father? Want to be an outstanding father? And sit at Jesus' feet and follow him and all God's people say.
Amen.
Father God in heaven, we thank you and we just marvel at these connections between an Old Testament lesson about those who are just following their own way, following their own devices, but living in tombs, having a moral nakedness, meaning they cannot defend themselves. And that personification of what life is without a life of slavery represented by the bondage and the chains. Father, we marvel at your word. And we would ask, Lord, that you would give us that steady diet of sitting at the feet of Jesus. That we really would put down our devices, our designs. Lord, we are just so thankful for the tremendous benefit that these technologies can bring. But, of course, Lord, this word is not about those machines exclusively. And it's not about those machines even predominantly. It's about whether or not we really are going to hearken to the one who says, "Here I am, here I am." Who is reaching out to a people who hadn't even known his name, and reaching out even to his own people. This prophecy of Isaiah was written to God's own people, appealing to them yet once again to stop acting like the world. Father, as we heard in Sunday school, help us to be those who do not take vengeance ourselves, but that we believe and we act upon the fact that vengeance is yours. And so we sing and we pray those imprecatory psalms that ask you to do whatever it takes to change our culture, to break our very legs if it means to stop us from wandering from you. Help us, good Lord, in all of these things. In Jesus' name. Amen.